Psalm 15, thank you for journeying with me this week. I have feasted in my own soul, I'm convicted as I think about each time I approach the Lord, and especially as we prepare for this coming Sunday. I can't wait, after 10 Sundays away, almost 3 months apart, that we get to reunite as the Lord's people. You know what the hardest thing will be? Not being able to hug and to fully greet one another and shake my brother's hands. But before long, at least we can do something's better than nothing, right? At least I can see you and we can be in the same room and hear God's word and pray together and find some ways to sing under our breath or do responsive readings or at least have some solos and music be presented to us and to be together in God's presence as his church, as the gathering, the assembly, the Church of Antioch Bible. Can't wait. We are in Psalm 15. We've been looking at these six prerequisites for true worshipers. First, godly character in verse 2, then godly speech, verse 2 and 3a, then the rest of verse 3, loving relationships. Now we come to number 4, the right heroes. The right heroes. Verse 4, A and B, the first two lines of verse 4. Look there. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised. But the world always calls good evil and evil good. Today we idolize the vile people and we honor perverts and the immoral. We exalt celebrities despite their debauched lifestyles and raunchy productions. Yet we should be hating what God hates and loving what God loves. Holiness includes our emotions, beloved. I ask you, think about this. Talk about it today in your household. Are you repulsed by what repulses the heart of God? Are you so saturated with Scripture that you are acquiring more of God's taste buds, as it were, more of what God likes and dislikes? It says here, the righteous man, the true worshiper, in whose eyes a reprobate is despised. There's a righteous anger there that boils within him. No wonder people come into church and wonder why they're not in the mood for true worship, or why the Spirit just seems absent from certain churches. If the night before, those same people were watching all kinds of junk and being entertained by filth and by reprobates, and now they wonder why they're uncomfortable in the presence of God. Or it's boring, or it's hard to concentrate on heavenly things when their mind has been in the gutter of earthly filth. No, a true worshiper despises the reprobate and the godless in this sense. Keep reading, but who honors those who fear the Lord? Could that be said about you, my brother, my sister, my fellow worshiper? Your deepest respect, your most heartfelt appreciation is reserved for fellow believers, those who truly fear God. We learned about this a couple of months ago in Psalm 16, verse 3. He delights in the company of the majestic ones, the saints. It blows my mind why Christians would rather spend time with worldly friends or secular entertainment more than being with the saints, the redeemed, God's people, my brothers and sisters in Christ. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honors those who fear the Lord. Children, boys and girls, are you listening? It starts with you honoring your Christian parents. If you have a dad or mom that fears the Lord, all the more they deserve your respect. And Christians, all of us, we honor one another with our words, with our gestures, with our body language. We're going to have to work extra hard at that nowadays with masks and a meter and a half apart and social distancing and some people who are able to join us, others who aren't able. We're going to have to bend over backwards to show extra grace and finding ways to honor and care for one another. Do you know, Christians, we honor one another with the way we dress, with our modesty, our chivalry, our etiquette and manners, something that we Texans aren't always strong on in some ways. I'm still learning. We honor one another with our punctuality, our priorities, our hospitality, our care for widows, our respect for the elderly in the church. South Africans are so superior in this area compared to where I come from. Thousands of ways we honor one another. This verse 4 also explains why we love church history and we love missionary biographies. Honoring those who fear the Lord are heroes of the faith. O Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Godly character, godly speech, loving relationships, right heroes. Number 5, those who are loyal. Loyal. Verse 4 continues, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. Beloved, are you a person of your word? Is your yes, yes, and your no is no? No pinky promise, cross my heart, hope to die, stick a needle in my eye. Nothing needs to be added. Your word stands. Or are you just like everyone else, making empty promises, throwing out hollow invites, offering favors that prove to be false? This, if you're married, starts with keeping your marriage vows to your spouse. As elders, we have each taken vows before you as a congregation and our role as elders and overseers and shepherds of the church. You too, if you're a member, have taken membership vows in our church covenant. And that's going to be really tested, especially now as we find ways to gather and see each other. And it's been tested during this lockdown period. And now as we're able to regather, one pastor writes that the most broken vow of all today, even more than marriage vows, are the church membership vows. You look at the way Christians treat one another or speak about their leaders in the church or the way they live their lives, and you see that he's right. This pastor goes on to say, a church covenant is as solemn and serious as any other vow you take. The vows are voluntary, but once taken, they are serious and require focused commitment and a particular pattern of behavior. Verse 4, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. No matter what, no matter what it costs me, I will love my family in Christ and keep my commitment to them. In an age of consumer relationships, afraid of covenantal ties to one another, in an age of easy in, easy out, relationships of convenience that are not binding, God calls us to costly relationships of commitment. Except for when it comes to God's covenant with us, then you'd better believe we need him to always keep his word, even when it hurts. You see the inconsistency, the hypocrisy. It's too often. Then verse 4 says, he swears to his own hurt and does not change. Would that be said about you, Christian, my fellow worshiper? That you're unwavering, not bending or buckling under the pressure, not compromising your loyalty to other believers, not wavering in our love for each other, even when it means personal pain or loss, or you hurt my feelings, or you stepped on my toes. That's going to be tested a lot in the coming weeks and months with all these health protocols and social distancing and differing areas of conscience. We're not looking for ways to get out of our commitments. We're not leaning out of Christian love. We're leaning into it. Isaac Watts, he says, who shall inhabit in thy hill, O God of holiness? Whom will the Lord admit to dwell so near his throne of grace? He speaks the meaning of his heart, this godly man, nor slanders with his tongue, will scarce believe an ill report, nor do his neighbor wrong. The wealthy sinner he condemns loves all that fear the Lord. And though to his own hurt he swears, still he performs his word. His hands disdain a golden bribe and never gripe the poor. This man shall dwell with God on earth and find his heaven secure. I'll see you tomorrow.